J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
But I just
want to see yourself living in St. Louis 30 years from now?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, because of Sam's career and mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even at 62?
Karen Kelly and the Breakfast Club. It has a nice ring.
Who's this on the Wolfman telephone? Hello?
Is this about the apartment on Kings Highway?
Is this about the what?
Apartment?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a two-bedroom.
Uh-huh.
The shower works fine.
Uh-huh.
And what other questions do you have?
How much is it a month?
$750.
I mean, is it all? It includes?
Heat, electric, air conditioning, and don't let the smell bother you. It hasn't bothered the last two or three people who have lived there. We're not sure it was a skunk. Most people, when they guess, they say skunk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it doesn't bother most people.
Okay.
Now, the guy above you,
he
was never convicted.
Okay.
And there's only one other problem.
Uh-huh, Nick.
My pet dog, Sparky, I can't keep him anymore, and he has to stay in the apartment.
In the apartment that I'm
Yes, in right? fact, I'll tell you what. I'll knock off $100 if you continue to watch Sparky for me.
All right.
You want to think about it, or?
$650.
You know what? $600. If you watch Sparky, $600.
All right.
When can you move in?
On the first of the month.
All right. Now, you sure about Sparky?
I'm fine.
You sure about that? I don't know. Sparky, down, boy. Sparky, take it easy. Sparky, down, boy.
Is he a mean dog?
Sparky, down, boy. Sparky, down, boy. Down. If you don't make eye contact, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Okay. All right, let me put you on hold. We'll get right back to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The hell is going on?
As long as you don't make eye contact.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, October 19th, 2022. 20 days until the beginning of the dissolution of our American system of government as we have known it. You think I'm kidding? Talk to me in 21 days, all right? You're at jconthelinecom. How you doing? So Yankees beat the Guardians last night. Damn, we got rid of the Dodgers. It would have been great to get rid of both of them. We'll see. American League Championship Series against the Astros begins tonight. Phillies beat the Padres in game one of the NLCS yesterday. All right, a couple of more sports notes here. Starting next year, you know, we already have games on Thanksgiving. It started where there were always two games on Thanksgiving. One of them was always the Detroit Lions. I don't know if they still are automatically in that. I am going to go back and check that. I don't recall. But so you got three games. So now there's a game that starts around, you know, lunchtime, then another game starts around, you know, dinner time, and then another one that starts like 7 o'clock at night. So you get three games. So starting next year, the NFL is also going to do Black Friday games. That's going to be on Amazon Prime, by the way. So this is in addition to the games on Thanksgiving Day. Those will be on CBS and Fox. You know, the NFL has been having all sorts of troubles getting people to watch Thursday night football. Now, you would think that would do okay, you know? You know, the Monday night games do well, but the Thursday night games really, really struggling. And part of the reason is because the venue. I mean, I think for a while it was on the NFL Network, and a lot of people didn't have the NFL Network, and it's not one of those things that you get with basic cable. You have to pay for it. And for a lot of people, it's just like, I just can't afford to be buying stuff like that for one game a week. Oh, yeah, there's other stuff on the NFL Network, but when it comes down to it, you're basically buying it for one football game a week. NFL Thursday Night Football averaging about 10.8 million viewers a week, but like I said, they just keep moving the thing around all over the place. All right, it is the 19th of October, and I guess now, finally, we can legitimately start talking about the holidays, because we got, Thanksgiving is a month away. We got problems with Halloween this year, because Halloween is actually on a Monday night. So a lot of people are like, well, yeah, but the parties will be on the weekend, right? And the answer is, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that on Saturday and Sunday night, especially if you go to the Central West End or something like that, they have, you know, a lot of the bars and restaurants have really, really big parties and big get-togethers, and they block off the streets, as I recall. I don't know if they're still doing that. I know they used to. Other parts of Clayton, I think, into that too. But the actual date is the 31st, and that's Monday. So my guess is what's going to happen is the kids will actually trick-or-treat on Monday night. The adults will do it on the weekend. But the reason I bring that up is because this week, they say, might be the best time to buy plane tickets for the holidays. For those of you who want to try that and do the planes, trains, and automobiles thing, and you're like sitting there going, I don't know. I've seen these videos on the network news of what appears to be thousands of people just sleeping on the floor next to a dumpster. People who are stuck in an airport for 2, 3, 4 days can't get to where they're supposed to go. You can understand it if there is a weather emergency and, you know, some airport is sitting under 2 feet of snow. That I can understand. But more and more we're finding out that the problems with the airlines, particularly on the holidays, is self-inflicted. You got employees and unions and stuff like that, workers for the airlines who don't show up. And how do you get people's attention? If you think there's something wrong with your employment situation, what do you do? Even though it's more blue flu than it is a strike, you do that at the time of the holidays and you'll get people's attention, all right? I don't know that it's going to help your cause, but at least they'll know about it. Anyhow, ticket prices are expected to start going up at least $10 a week for the next few weeks, then $10 a day as we get closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm pretty sure I'm going to come in for that Mr. Blue Sky show at Del Mar Hall, which is the night before Thanksgiving, so I better get moving on this. $10 a day as we get closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, here's some bonus advice that's way out of left field. Once you're on that flight, make sure you don't get sunburn. Somebody talked to a dermatologist who says we should all be wearing sunblock on airplanes, especially on long flights, and especially if you have a window seat. It turns out you're exposed to more UV rays at 30,000 feet, and a 2019 study even found pilots and flight attendants are twice as likely to get melanoma on a plane. I was talking to a dermatologist a couple of months ago who said that we're always having to treat people with cancer and precancerous cells and things like that on the left side of their faces. And the reason why is because when we drive, left side of our faces, like our bodies, our arms, stuff like that, all exposed to more sunlight and more UV rays. For the first time in my life, I got tinted windows a couple of weeks ago. So certainly seems to be working with regard to the heat in the car. It really seems to be making a difference. I didn't see this one coming. The mother of George Floyd's daughter is suing Kanye West on her behalf for $250 million. Among Kanye's other ridiculous statements, he's been claiming Floyd was killed by fentanyl, not by police brutality. Okay, fine. So what we saw in that video for 10 minutes with the cop kneeling on his neck, that's not what killed him. It was fentanyl. Thanks, Kanye. Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming by to clear that up for all of us. People watch TV now, they don't know the difference between what is real and what is fake. There was somebody on television yesterday talking about, you know who it was? That's right. It was Maggie Haberman. Oh, let me see if I still have this. That's right. They reran the interview with Maggie Haberman, the brilliant New York Times reporter who's been doing all this investigative stuff on the Trump people, and the new book just came out earlier this week. And let me tell you something. She's on TV. Everything stops. She is really good. Whether you voted for Donald Trump and would vote for him again, or whether you believe he is scum, you absolutely cannot deny the tenacity of Maggie Haberman. And I'll tell you something else, because this is certainly true in St. Louis as well, and even on a grand scale on a national basis. It's changing a little bit because we're creating media creatures And with the advent of YouTube and just all the social media stuff where people, just everybody is sitting in front of a camera these days. And everybody's gotten much better at it. I mean, remember when we were all kids? And there were always people on television who just looked like, you know, deer in the headlights. Now you almost never get that. It's like people have been recording their own videos so much, and they're so used to being in front of a camera, even if it's only on a phone, that when something happens in their community, whatever, and the TV crews come in and they start interviewing people, everybody looks like they've been on television their entire lives. But there's a lot of very, very good writers that I recall throughout the course of time who just aren't that good on television. I don't know, maybe that's why they started writing, is because maybe they wanted to be on TV, they realized, or maybe they don't have the look, whatever, but I'm just telling you, we're seeing more and more people who are just as good on television as they are when they're sitting in a computer cranking out a column for a newspaper or a website or something like that. And she's definitely one of these people. She gets on television and she is incredibly compelling to watch and a very, very good public speaker. She is amazing. But like I said, people don't know what they're watching anymore. The lines have all been blurred to the point now where somebody did a survey of about 8,000 people, and they said, the stuff you see on reality TV, is that real? And 14% said, oh, yeah. I guess they don't notice in the credits at the end of the show, there's writers and producers, and so many people who have been on these shows have stepped forward years later to basically say, oh, yeah, you know, I came on and they said, okay, we're going to make you the villain. All right, you're going to be the good girl. All right, you're going to be the guy who helps everybody out. This stuff is all predetermined. And then they write scripts and they produce conflict and all that sort of stuff. It's all made up 100%. And 14% of people think this stuff is real. 27% think it's real sometimes. And only 14% said, oh yeah, no, it's fake, it's all fake. Only 14%! But speaking of reality TV, like I said, yeah, they had Maggie Haberman on with Colbert. This is really interesting.
How much of that and his success in politics and the trust that people had in him has to do with the success of The Apprentice?
An enormous amount. I think without The Apprentice, there is no Donald Trump presidency, because he was basically playing himself on a television show that was produced by a fan of The Art of the Deal, Mark Burnett. And, you know, it was all staged. It was creating. The people who were involved in the show have talked about how they were trying to make a sort of broken down, eroding empire look magnificent for the screen. And
What do you mean? Like, how so?
They built a conference room on a set.
Because, that's not his conference room?
No. They when they were filming in one of the casinos, they realized it looked a little dingy. It had seen better days. And so he was basically built up to this, you know, sitting in a leather-backed chair, and he came up with this catch line, "You're fired," which the producers of the show realized was gold, and he was emulating George Steinbrenner, the former owner of the Yankees, when he did it. But this was a presentation that viewers saw, and I didn't really understand this until I was not an Apprentice watcher, but I didn't really understand this until I was in Iowa, and I was interviewing voters during the Iowa caucuses in 2016. And I was asking people at one of his final rallies in Dubuque, Iowa, a very leading question, which was, basically, are you here because this is the last time you're going to see him? The spectacle's ending. And I kept getting these answers, no, I'm caucusing for him. And one man looked at me like I had eight heads when I asked the question and said, you know, I'm caucusing for him. And I said, why? And he said, I watched him run his business. And he meant The Apprentice. So without The Apprentice...
It was all illusion.
Which was television. It was the art of television. Yeah.
Wow.
That's all you can say sometimes is, wow. One more political thing. And by the way, oh my God, I cannot wait for this election to be over, because you can't turn on the TV anywhere to watch anything anymore without these fucking political ads coming on. It is so way past the point of being ridiculous. Anyhow, this is pretty funny. This is Trevor Noah on The Daily Show the other night.
With a local campaign ad for Linda Paulson out of Utah. Now, you probably look at this picture and you think, no, there's no way this little old lady could spit fire over a dope rap beat. Well, guess what? You're right.
Hey, Utah. with District 12. Listen up right here. There's a new name on the ballot for the Senate this year. I'm pro-religious freedom, pro-life, pro-police. The right to bear arms and the right to free speech. But in schools, they're pushing for new beliefs. And just to clarify, as a female adult, I know what a woman is. If you share my values, if you like what I stand for, then give me your vote on the 8th of November. District 12 needs a choice. Let me be your voice, Linda Paulson. Linda Paulson for Senate.
I don't exactly know how, but I'm pretty sure that that was racism. I don't know how. I don't know if you noticed this. Did you notice that at some point the beat stopped? But it stopped itself. Like, she was so offbeat. It's almost like the beat was like, am I the one messing up? Wait, do you know I'm here? What is happening? Yeah, gangster rap, Linda. Unfortunately, after recording that track, Linda was hit in a drive-by shooting. Yes, tragic, but when you're in the game all the way. Here's my question. Who is this for? Who is this ad for, right? Because she is a conservative Republican in Utah. Nobody who supports her likes rap. And nobody who likes rap is gonna see this video and be like, man, I wasn't gonna vote for Republicans, but her flow just can't be denied, B.
Trevor Noah is the other one working this week. Everybody else is off. And he's got Brandi Carlile on tonight. And people have been wondering about his replacement because he's going to be wrapping things up soon. So what is The Daily Show going to do? And again, backing up, they blew this. Even though Trevor Noah held down the fort, he seems to be very popular with people, especially the really younger end of the demographic scale. He just never really connected, as far as I'm concerned, not with me. But you can't deny his success, and they paid him a lot of money. But they still blew it because that gig should have gone to Samantha Bee. But anyhow, it appears that ship has sailed. And it says now The Daily Show might replace Trevor Noah with multiple hosts. I mean, that's one thing if it's weekly, like Saturday Night Live, and you can bring in guest hosts, but four nights a week? Geez, I don't know about that. And even Saturday Night Live had all sorts of problems back in the 70s because they were sitting there going, we don't know, we're raking this up as we go. And there was some discussion of having a permanent host. And one of the names that came up was David Letterman way back then. Show would have been very, very different had they decided to go that route, huh? I have friends in Kansas City, and one of the most famous people coming out of Kansas City these days is Jason Sudeikis, who grew up in Overland Park. And if you don't know about Kansas City, you know that's a huge suburb in Kansas City. And apparently Jason Sudeikis spends a surprising amount of time in KC. A lot of it is for sporting events, especially, Kansas City Chiefs games and stuff like that. And apparently he's pretty liberal with the selfies and the autographs. And I mentioned him the other day here on the podcast, and I got like four or five pictures, selfies, with people who listen to the podcast every day, who spend time in Kansas City or live there full time, and sent me their pictures of Jason Sudeikis. And he's in the news a lot this week because he and his ex, Olivia Wilde, are basically saying that this nanny who's coming up with all these stories, that she's making this shit up. I don't know what to believe on this whole thing. I will tell you that Jason Sudeikis has a really good reputation. We've had him on the show. He's a wonderful guy. He was very entertaining. And even the people from the show who have worked with him come back and say, oh, yeah, he's a great guy. He's pretty much what you see is what you get. He's not that far off from Ted Lasso. He's just like one of these really, really upbeat guys, always chewing gum and always very, like I said, upbeat about everything. By the way, speaking of Saturday Night Live, did you hear about this? It's Chris Kattan's birthday today. He is 52, and he's got all sorts of health issues because he took a couple of falls doing some of his characters. And I guess there was some discussion about NBC and Saturday Night Live reimbursing him for medical bills for injuries that he suffered while he was on the show, anything to just sort of mitigate all of that. Well, it turns out, I'm told that Chris Kattan is living in Springfield, Illinois. he's got some chick up there, and apparently it's fairly serious, and he's living in central Illinois. It just occurred to me that the thing I just played for you a little while ago, remember the movie The Wedding Singer, Adam Sandler, the rapping granny? Except that was comedy. I think this woman was serious, which makes it even more sad. All right, for this next story, I got to set it up with a conversation we had years ago with Tony Randall. I think Eric Mink can be heard cackling in the background on this too. I think we may have been on the river when we did this interview, so it goes back a number of years. Well, also because Tony Randall's been dead for like 20 years. But anyhow, I think everybody remembers Tony Randall, The Odd Couple. But before he did that, he did movies in the 50s and the 60s. And his, you know, he had that sort of persnickety character type. So he would get those kinds of roles. And so I'll have you listen to this as Tony Randall picks up the story, then I'll explain while we're playing it.
I do remember it was a long time ago. I think it was the 1960s. And I've heard you tell this story before. And maybe you'll just indulge us a little bit here today. I just remember that you did a movie with a lion, and that the lion, let us say, had unpredictable bathroom habits.
That's right. You want me to talk about that? All right.
Spend valuable time.
Are millions of people in their cars listening to this.
Well, with a setup like that, I think now we have to tell the story.
Well, they sedate the lion. Not with drugs.
Well, wait, what was the storyline? Why were you in a movie with a lion?
That's inexplicable. I still don't understand that. I should have shot my agent and fed him to the lion.
All right, so you're doing a movie with a lion.
Yeah, well, they sedate the lion with food. They just keep feeding him, and that keeps him happy and keeps him from being dangerous. I think they're really only dangerous when they're hungry. And so during the course of the day, they give him about 30 pounds of meat. It's raw meat, and he likes it spoiled. I'm serious. And the smell on the set is unbearable.
But the lion got used to it after a while. No, that's the old
joke. That's the way he wants it. And he drinks buckets of water. Entire buckets of water. Each time he eats, he'll go over and he'll drink an entire bucket of water right now. Naturally, well, lions are nocturnal creatures, actually. And they what they want to do is sleep all day long. At night, they roar and go out. As soon as it gets cool, hit the town.
You know, it's really funny. So far, some of these descriptions fit us, too. We're only dangerous when we're hungry, and we roar and go out at
and
night.
And we drink buckets
of
water.
And sleep all day long.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So what he does in nature is to sleep in his cave all day long. But he has to go to the John about every 5 minutes or so. So he's too lazy to get up and go out. But he can aim it. I'm serious. And he aims it, and it goes out in spurts about 20, 30 feet. It clears him, but he doesn't care what it is. And you could see the lion getting ready to do it all the time.
Head for cover.
That's exactly right. The trainer has four or five assistants. Oh. And each time we'd see it coming, because it would ruin the set. It would go all over the set, all over the costumes. It would ruin a painted wall 30 feet away. I'm not joking. So when these assistants sense it's coming, they rush up with panels and completely surround him. And you never saw a sight like it in your life.
Tony, I got to think working with Rock Hudson and Doris Day is easier than that.
Considerably.
Yeah, yeah.
Because both of them were better housebroken than any lion.
Tony Randall is like 82 and married some girl who was like in her 20s or something and had a bunch of babies and then promptly died. I got a picture of him with Eric Mink I should put up. Anyhow, the reason I'm playing that is Tom Felton says that during the filming of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, one scene they were trying to shoot kept being disrupted by a baboon who couldn't keep his hands off himself. I think we've all been at the zoo one time or another where our parents rushed us out of the place or where you see a school group or something and a teacher with a panic-stricken look on her face is rushing the kids away from the monkey cages because the monkeys are jerking off. And that's what this baboon was doing. Like, he made me to reshoot the thing. And keep in mind, because it's Harry Potter, you got a bunch of kids around. I think I like the lion story better. The Charlie Brown Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas specials will be exclusive to Apple TV again this year, but there's going to be a brief window where non-subscribers can stream them for free. That is downright un-American to have those Charlie Brown shows not on over-the-air TV. Meghan Markle is talking about when she worked as a briefcase girl on that TV show Deal or No Deal about, what, 16, 17, maybe even 20 years ago. She said that the girls were just slabs of meat, just sort of standing there, all looks, no substance. Yeah, well, it was a game show, Meghan. You know, I'm trying to like her because I think she's cute, and I think she's clearly in a very, very difficult position. And she's sitting there basically thinking to herself, you are not going to fucking turn me into Princess Di. So just, you know, she's fighting back a little bit, which I like. Anyhow, I'm trying to like her, but I don't know. She may be losing me here. Carrie Underwood, and those of you who remember the old morning show we did on K-Hits, the morning showgram, will recall that I played this on the air a couple of times. Carrie Underwood singing Paradise City, the Guns N' Roses song. And by the way, knocking it out of the park. I got to be honest, okay? You know how I feel about country music and country music stars, although Carrie Underwood, you know, you remember when she was on American Idol trying out, she was singing Heart songs and stuff like that. It was only later that they really sort of switched her over to country and the rest is history. But Carrie Underwood is a very, very great singer. And also, let's be honest here, they oil up her legs and they put her in a short skirt and they put her on TV. And if you're a red-blooded American man, this is going to catch your attention, okay? So for years, she's been just like maybe coming out for an encore or something and doing Paradise City and the crowd really going nuts because, you know, as we know, country music people also listen to other kinds of music. So for years, she has been trying to get Axl Rose to actually get up on stage with her. Well, it finally happened earlier this year, but it was only after she wrote him a personal email. She told him his voice, and this is her words, always mesmerized her, and she tried to emulate him while learning how to sing. All right, birthdays today. Trey Parker from South Park, 53. John Favreau, cool guy, cool actor, good director. One of the Swingers. And even though 99% of Rudy never took place, he was still good in it. 56 today. Evander Holyfield, who I interviewed at, I think it was Clayton. Yeah, because I think it was at the mall. But anyhow, he came in with Mary Lou Retton. They were doing some sort of, you know, Olympic athletic superstar thing. And I remember that was the interview. Do we have it in here? Nah, it's not in here. I wonder why not. Anyhow, that was the interview where she admitted to me that she won her first gold medal of the Olympics before she had her first period. Never know where these interviews are going to go sometimes. But Evander Holyfield was there too. Very, very nice guy. Very approachable, you know, because he's an imposing looking person, but he's got this sort of goofy smile and he was very, very pleasant to talk to. He's 60 today. John Lithgow, and that is the correct pronunciation. It's Lithgow. He's 77 today. G.C. Riley. That was that Harper Valley PTA song. 77. Today. 40 years ago today, 1982, John DeLorean arrested in L.A. for a $24 million cocaine scheme aimed at salvaging his bankrupt sports car company. He was tried and acquitted. The DeLorean was the car used in Back to the Future. That was 40 years ago today. Take on Me by A-ha, number one on the pop singles chart on this date in 1985, and deservedly so. I don't think there's any question it's the best music video ever made. And 10 years ago today, 2012, Justin Timberlake married Jessica Biel in Italy. And you guys think I make this stuff up? I don't. A blind woman is going to pilot a plane across the country. She can't see, and she's going to fly an airplane. Presumably, there will be somebody in the cockpit with her who is able to see and will offer advice like, bank left so you don't hit this mountain.
I'm all for people with disabilities showing that life can be actually more normal than people think, even though you are not gifted with the sense of sight. And at the same time, you're going to be up there in a flying bomb, and I'm going to be down here, and you can't see. So what guarantee are you going to give me that you're not going to fly into the side of my house? See, these are practical issues that I just come up with, okay? Anyhow, a blind woman will pilot a plane across the country. Jeez, you know, I know Spirit Airlines is trying to cut costs, but this is getting ridiculous. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, October 19th, 2022, is in the can. 20 days until things begin to disintegrate as far as our American system of government is concerned. We are here absolutely free every weekday morning right about this time. You can, and we archive all the shows too. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I'm afraid to look at this. Hold on. 32 degrees. Oh, geez, we have wind chill factors. Feels like 26. Stay warm, everybody. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.